Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alverton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Amen. Amen. As you grab your seat, grab your copy of God's word and go with me to John 13. John 13. You know, as I've thought about dads, being one of them, we're known for a lot of things, all right? Some of them good, some of them corny, okay? All right? Dads are known for fixing stuff. I don't know what I would do without my dad. I think sometimes he sees, that's Ben calling. I'll get him later because he's going to ask me to come do something. I depend on my dad a lot. So dads are known for fixing stuff. Dads are known for playing catch. Dads are known for words of wisdom. I mean, you remember some of the words of wisdom that your dad gave you? Like, measure twice, cut once, right? That's wise. Can't never could. Maybe you heard your dad say that. Or maybe your dad told you, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing what? Right. Money doesn't grow on trees. I've heard that one and have said that one. That's a good one. And that which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. Dads are known for their wisdom, right? Dads are known for their wrestling skills, right? That was one of the highlights growing up, where mama's saying, quit it, quit it, as Matt and I are doing off the top rope of the couch onto dad. I mean, it was, you know, it's just a lot of fun. Dad always told me, he said, you're never big enough to whoop your daddy, all right? And that's true. That's true. He knows tricks that I've not even thought of yet. Dads are known for their toughness, right? I mean, think about the difference when a child who's got a boo-boo comes to mama, as opposed when a child comes to daddy with a boo-boo, right? Dad's like, just rub some dirt in it, boy, and walk it off. You'll be all right. Dads are known for putting their kids on their shoulders and going for a walk. Dads are known for their dad jokes. Like, why did the Clydesdale give the pony a glass of water? Well, because he was a little horse, of course. Or how about this one? What is Forrest Gump's computer password? One, Forrest, one. All right. Yeah, enough of those, right? Time to move on. I mean, the list could go on and on, right, for what dads are known for. But when we look at the Word of God, Scripture says this: there is one thing that really stands out, that really shines above, that dads should be known for. And that one thing is love. Dads should be most known for their love. I'm going to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. From John chapter 13, the 34th and the 35th verse, the Word of God says this. This is Jesus speaking here. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. So you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let's pray. Father, that's what we want this morning. We pray that our love quotient would increase during this worship gathering this morning as we leave out of these doors. We pray not only would we feel more loved, but God, would we have a greater desire to show love to others. So God, work in our midst. If there is anybody under the sound of my voice, Father, who is yet to repent and believe on Jesus as Savior and Lord, we pray that today, through the preaching of your word and through the gathered witness of this congregation this morning and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that today would be the day they would see their sin, turn from that sin, and trust in Jesus for their salvation. That could happen on Father's Day too, God. And so would you do that today? It's in Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. Amen. Grab your seat there. Now, to be fair, as we look at this passage here, this call to love one another as that shining component for who you are, right? It's not just dads, right? This is not just a call upon dads' lives. Every follower of Jesus Christ, regardless of your gender, or regardless of whether you have children or not, every person, every Christian is called to be known by love. In fact, if you've been around Eastwood for the past 6 months or so, you have heard us talk about love being one of the measures that we have here at Eastwood for each individual personally to grow in, right? It's one of the measures to see if a person is growing. You remember that acrostic Samuel. And the L in Samuel stands for love. The S stands for service. The A stands for abide. M stands for missions. U is understanding. E, evangelism. But we get down to that L. And we would pray that every person under the sound of my voice, if you are a member of Eastwood, would grow in love. And we ask this question. Here's how we measure it. We ask this question: am I known by love? And if you are, then you're growing. And if you're not, you need to grow, okay? That's one of the things here at Eastwood. But every Christian should be known by love. But I say to you this morning, especially dads. Especially dads. Because of our God-ordained role as leaders. Leaders of our wives. Leaders of our children. Leaders in the church. And so dads especially should be known by their love. Dads are called to lead with love. And so while every Christian is called by God to be known by love, dads are to lead in that area by examples. We should be excellent in loving. But who? Who should receive a dad's love? So this morning, dads, I hope to point you in the right direction. So dads, take notes. Future dads, take notes. And for everybody else, the things that I'm going to say this morning are not exclusive to dads, okay? So every single person, whether you're a dad or not, should leave here with things in your life to strive for when you're growing in love. They apply to every Christian. But dads should especially apply these today. So here's today's topic: 5 declarations from a godly father. 5 declarations from a godly father. And I've ordered these in the order of importance. In other words, number 1 is most important. Number 2, second most important, and so on. So not only am I giving you a list of who should receive your love, I'm also giving you the priority in which they should receive your love. Which one is most important? The first declaration of a godly father is, I will love my God. I will love my God. You see, one time Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment of all of Scripture? And his response in Matthew 22, verse 37 was this. He said, the most important commandment in all of the Bible is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And so dads, I say to you this morning, if you want to be the best dad you can be, then your relationship with God is most important. With every faculty of your being, you should love God. And that, of course, begins with turning from your sin and trusting in Jesus as your Savior. Scripture's clear. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. We're sinners who are separated from God, and that the only way to be made right with God is by repenting and trusting in Jesus, the God-sent Savior of the world. That's the only way to get right with God. But maybe you're a dad here today who has never repented and trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And so I beg you today, you need to do that. You need to do that. You may be convinced that you don't need to. You could be a great dad without being a Christian. And I say to you this morning, you're partly right. You're partly right. Right? There are many good fathers who don't follow Christ. And praise God for that. Praise God that there are good fathers. Through the common grace of God, many men are good fathers without Christ. You provide for your children. You protect your children. You play with your children. You have a great relationship with your children. Let me say this to you this morning. If you think that you can be a great dad without following Jesus, listen to this for just a moment. One of the areas that you will be held accountable in when you stand before God one day on the day of judgment is this. Did you work to lead your children to follow Christ? And I say to you this morning, you cannot lead your children where you have not gone yourself. And so dads, if you want to be the best dad you can be, you need to repent and trust Jesus. I promise you, it will not only revolutionize your life, it'll not only revolutionize your eternity, it will revolutionize your fatherhood. But once you've trusted Jesus And for those of you who've already trusted Christ and you're a dad, then your love for God will become a way of life. And like I said, dads are to lead in love by example. And so if you want your children to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all their mind, with all their strength, if you want them to do that, then they got to see you do that, right? They want to do what dad does. So much of what we're talking about here is not only taught, it's caught through watching your example. So I encourage you, every dad in this room, to declare, I will love my God. That's the first declaration of a godly father. The second declaration is this: I will love my wife. I will love my wife. That is what godly dads do. Their first love is God, but then right behind that, their second love is their wife. Now, dads, I want you to notice something. This is really important, that children are not second here. Your relationship with your wife should be a higher priority than your relationship with your children. Now, moms and dads both need to hear this. But especially dads, as leaders of the home, we need to hear this so that we might set the proper tone in a godly home, right? God calls husbands. Ephesians 5:25, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Right? This is a sacrificial love in one sense, right? You're pouring out your life for your wife. But you know what? I don't know if you ever thought about it this way, but it's not just a sacrificial relationship. It is a self-beneficial love as well, because a husband who loves his wife, according to Scripture, is loving his own flesh. You see, when a man and a woman marry, the Bible says that they become one flesh. And so as you nourish, as you cherish your wife, you will be blessed as well. And this has an impact on your children, of course, right? Loving your wife well will impact your children. Children long to see you love your wife and their mom. In fact, if Christy and I want a guarantee to have kids cling to us, all we have to do is just hug a little bit. And it's like they hear a dog whistle. And here they come, mama, daddy, no, let me in. And they're squeezing in, trying to get in between and all that stuff. They want to be on the, you know, they want to be hugged and all that. They love to see mom and dad love on one another. And so I say to you, dads, if you want to bless your children, let them see you love on your wife, their mother. But you know what? I understand we live in a broken world. And oftentimes, moms and dads marry other people. That's a reality that we live in, okay? So maybe you're here today and your wife is not the mother of your children. Let me say to you this morning, that changes nothing about this priority one bit. Dads, you are to be exemplary before your children in loving your wife, their stepmother. Regardless if she is the mother of your children or not, your children need to see you holding marriage in high esteem. They need to see from you, you set the tone here, that a husband and wife are a one flesh union that is beautiful and sacred before God. So dads, I encourage you today to declare, I will love my wife. That's the second declaration of a godly father. The third declaration is this: I will love my children. I will love my children. Now, this declaration might seem like it should go without saying, right? I mean, isn't that what we naturally do? Well, the truth of the matter is we live in a broken world, like I just said. And so it's not the case everywhere. There are some dads that don't love their children. One of the most heartbreaking moments this past week, I had the opportunity, the privilege to go and pastor a junior high camp at Camp Lucon. And one of the most heartbreaking moments was when in my cabin, cabin three, we were the lemons. We had yellow. We were team yellow, so we called ourselves the lemons. I don't know who came up with that. But anyway, the lemons were talking amongst themselves one day, the campers. And one of the campers was kind of referencing another camper's parents. And this little 12-year-old boy kind of took offense. He said, "Dude, don't bring up my parents. My mom died 4 years ago, and my dad just decided to abandon me and my sister. I haven't seen my dad in over a year, and I wish you could have seen as his shoulders slumped, as his face dropped. He just dropped his head in shame and guilt." And he said, "I live with my Nana. And so maybe you grew up with an absent father. Not all fathers love their children as they ought to. Maybe you grew up with an absent father. Maybe you had a father who was there, but he had a hard time expressing his love for you. He had that hard exterior that you just couldn't seem to crack. Sadly, not all dads in the world love their children well, but you, my brothers, I say to you, you're not like the world. That's what the world does, right? You're in the world, but not of the world. You're separate. You're set apart. You're different. You will love your children if you're a follower of Christ, because that's where Christ leads you. But how? How should you love your children? Certainly, love your children by providing for them. Certainly do that. Love your children by protecting them. Do that for sure. Love your children by playing with them, and as they get older, by interacting and talking and all the things that come with a teenager, right? Playing builds that relationship. That's so important. But I want to point you to two other very important things as dads that we should not neglect, because those are the things that we normally think of, right? If I'm a good dad, I provide, I protect, and I play. But I say to you these two other things that you should not neglect, dads, if you're going to love your children well. First, love your children by leading them to love God. You see, providing for them, protecting them, playing with them is certainly being a good dad, but it's not the full measure of what it is to be a good dad. God says if you really want to love your children, teach them to love God. God makes this clear in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 9. This is a great passage. I mean, this is like a mission statement for dads. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, all your heart, soul, and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, your mission is to love God and to lead your children to love God the same. If you do anything, then fathers, lead your sons and daughters to love the Lord. But this is also one of the ways that we often neglect, right? We as men, as part of the fall, I believe it's built into the fall, into that human depravity, right? The truth of the matter is that we often let our lives, our wives lead instead in spiritual things. All of a sudden, we become neglectful or we become passive. But God has called us to lead. Your spiritual leadership is very important. We're going to see more as to why here in a moment. But I say to you, your spiritual leadership is important, dads. Very, very important. So love your children by leading them to love God. But also, second, love your children by disciplining them. Disciplining them. We live in a very permissive age where parents tend to throw restraint off of their children. Now, maybe you grew up in a home where your dad was too harsh. And that's the opposite side, right? That when we think about the continuum here, that there's harshness on this side, and then there's permissiveness on this end, and God wants us to be in the middle. He doesn't want to be harsh, but He also doesn't want us to be permissive. And while maybe the generation or two before us swung to the harsh side, where you grew up in a strict home, and if you crossed your parents, you paid for it, we've swung the other way now to where kind of sometimes the kids are in charge. The kids are in charge. Dad's children need boundaries. They need your discipline. In fact, your loving discipline proves to your children that you love them. You see, speaking about God, Hebrews 12:6 says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." If this is true for our Heavenly Father and we're to emulate him, then it's true of earthly fathers as well, right? We prove our love by disciplining our children. Now, believe me, they won't always like it. Amen? In fact, I was told by my four-year-old, that boy is too smart for his own good sometime. 4 years old, on Friday, we're riding in the car, and his mama was going to drive the truck, and I was going to drive the car, and he was already buckled in his seatbelt and all that stuff in the car with me. He said, "Daddy, I want to go with mama." And I said, "No, you're just going to ride with me." And here's what he told me. He said, "Dad," this is a four-year-old, "Dad, you are the meanest dad in the world." Just right up like, "What? You hadn't seen me in a week, son, and this is what I get the first day back." They're going to say that stuff. They're not going to like it. You're going to be so mean and all this stuff. But discipline, although not fun, saying no is not always fun. It bears good fruit in our children, according to the scripture, right? Hebrews 12:11 teaches us, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So remember, dads, spare the rod, spoil the child. Or as Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline them." And you say, "Oh, I don't know about spanking. I mean, it might hurt Johnny's little feelings or scar him for life." Again, there's restraint, there's self-control in it, but nevertheless, this is why we need to be informed more by Scripture than by pop psychology. Proverbs 23:13 says, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die." Personally, I love the Good News translation that says this: "Don't hesitate to discipline children. A good spanking won't kill them," okay? So dads, I encourage you today to declare, "I will love my children." And one of the ways that you love them is by leading them to love the Lord and by disciplining them, Give them boundaries. And when they get out of those boundaries in the appropriate ways, with self-control, of course, help them to understand that that was wrong and that it's painful, and to bring them back within those boundaries. That's the third declaration of a godly father. The fourth declaration is this: I will love my church. I will love my church. Dads, church should be a priority for you, right? God first, wife second, children third, but then church fourth. Now I want you to notice, dads, hobbies ain't made it on the list yet, have they? Right? Hobbies ain't made it on the list yet. Church should be more important to you than your hobbies. But did you know this, that according to Lifeway Research, Father's Day is the holiday with the single lowest average church attendance? It's statistically lower than Labor Day or Memorial Day, even the 4th of July. And what makes this interesting is that when you consider Mother's Day, that tends to be the third highest attendance in the church year. Right behind Christmas and Easter. It's Christmas, or I guess it's actually Easter, Christmas, and then Mother's Day. So Mother's Day is one of the highest attended days of the year, and Father's Day is one of the lowest. So I say, why is that? Why is that? Undoubtedly, there are other factors into this, right? Like it's summertime, and so people are traveling. Kids aren't in school, but they are during Mother's Day. Maybe that's part of it. But I want to submit to you this morning that the biggest reason I believe that Father's Day is one of the least attended Sundays in the church year is because when it comes to Mother's Day, one of the ways that you think you honor your mom is by going to church with her, because it's a high priority for moms. It's a high priority for moms. But in our culture, we don't really see that same way when it comes to honoring our dads. And so could it be, dads? The reason is that dads don't value church like we ought to. But dads, I'm calling you to love your church. Not only is it good for you, but it's good for your children. This has been scientifically proven. Check this out. This is amazing. There was a study that proves that a dad's devotion to church directly impacts his children's devotion to church when they become adults. All right, there's a correlation between how devoted is dad to church and whether or not the children, when they grow up and leave the home, will continue to attend church. So here's what they found. Listen to this. If a father does not go to church, no matter how faithfully the mother goes, she can go every Sunday. But if the father does not go to church, they found in this study, only 2% of their children would become a regular worshiper. Only 2%. Only 2%. But if a father goes to church regularly, regardless of what the mama does, right? If the father goes, he's devoted, and mom never goes even. Here's what they found in this study, is that 75% of their children will become churchgoers. What that means is that dad's going to church and making church a high priority makes an incredible difference in the lives of their children. And so dads, I say to you, whether you like it or not, you are the spiritual leader of your children. That's just how God designed it. Therefore, as Hebrews 10:25 encourages us, don't neglect meeting together at church, is what it's meaning here, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Dads, I encourage you today to declare, I will love my church. That's the fourth declaration of a godly father. And here's the fifth, the final one I want to touch on this morning, is I will love my community. So dads, we should not just love God. We should not just love those in our home, our wife and our children. We should not just love the church. We should also love our community. Jesus made this clear, Matthew 22:39, when he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe you've noticed this, that children tend to be rather selfish. I mean, their favorite word as a toddler is, mine! They love to say that, right? They don't like to share. In fact, my kids tell me that all the time. I don't like to share. Right? But we as humans, sometimes we're like toddlers, aren't we? Right? We don't like to share. And so our whole human life is spent fighting selfishness. It's sort of the gravity of our depravity that pulls us downward toward ourselves. But dads, whether you realize it or not, God has given you one of the greatest anti-selfishness devices known to man, and that is called your child. Right? While your child may struggle with selfishness, that same child is the one that God has given you to teach you selflessness. Chuck Swindoll put it this way. He said, what does the Lord do to help broaden my horizons and assist me in seeing how selfish I am? Very simple. He gives me 4 busy kids who step on toes, wrinkle clothes, spill milk, lick car windows, and drop sticky candy on the carpet. Being unselfish in attitude strikes at the very core of our being. It means we're willing to forego our own comfort, our own preferences, our own schedule, our own desires for another's benefit, and that brings us back to Christ. And so, dads, fatherhood trains you and me in unselfishness in the home. But that same unselfishness that is practiced and honed in the home should spill over outside of the home and into your community. Right? You, as a dad, should find ways to show your neighbors love. Your children need to see you impacting the community. Why? Because it gives them confidence to see that, dad, I shouldn't be afraid of what's outside of me. I shouldn't be afraid of my neighbors, my community. Dad's out there, and I can go because dad's out there. It gives them courage. It teaches them responsibility. It gives them hope. But it teaches them to grow out of their selfishness by loving their neighbors. So, dads, I declare to you today, make this declaration, I will love my community. So dads, as you look at this list, I pray that it does not look burdensome. You may look at this list and you may say, man, I am not good enough to do all of that. But let me say this morning that I am not calling you to be a perfect dad. That's impossible. Here's what I'm calling you to be today. I'm calling you to be a Christian dad. And a Christian dad is an imperfect man who is leaning on the perfect Savior and doing what only Christ can empower him to do. And so this list is not a burden. This list is Christ's strength in you to go and do that which He has called you to do. God never commands something unless He gives the strength for which He commands. So I'm calling you to be a Christian dad. You are free in Christ to be the best dad Christ can make you. And that means that when you fail, Christ's grace covers that failure. And when you succeed, all glory goes to Christ. Here's my final prayer. May Eastwood be famous for having a gang of godly fathers who are known for their love. Man, that's a prayer. That's a vision. And I pray that God would do that in our midst.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what He has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow Him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.